This is your tech news briefing for Monday, August 24th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. In the pandemic, many workplaces have been quick to adopt new technologies. Automation has been a big one. It helps cut down on the number of people needed to do a job, which in turn helps stop the spread of the coronavirus. But now that we're beginning to see a light at the end of the tunnel, it seems like much of that new tech is here to stay. And economists are concerned that that could lead to a split recovery. Good for working professionals, but bad for the people whose jobs have been automated. Our tech columnist Christopher Mims will tell us more after these headlines. You might remember that earlier this month, President Trump issued an executive order against TikTok. He threatened to effectively ban the social media app if it doesn't find an American buyer for its U.S. operations. Now, TikTok says it's planning to file a lawsuit challenging the order as soon as this week. The company is expected to argue that the administration didn't follow due process in issuing the order in the first place. The move is yet another chapter in the showdown between the Trump administration and TikTok. The president has said that TikTok could share Americans' data with the Chinese government, a claim that TikTok has denied. In California, Uber and Lyft are operating as normal, for now. The two had been threatening to pause rideshare operations in the region after a state judge there ruled the companies had to reclassify their drivers as employees. That way, they'd comply with a state law that wants Uber and Lyft to give drivers more benefits, like healthcare and sick leave. But late last week, a state appeals court paused the previous ruling and gave the companies more time to go through the appeals process. Our reporter Preetika Rana says the eventual outcome of this legal battle could impact the future of ridesharing.
California is a very important market for both Uber and Lyft. It accounts for some 16% of Lyft's rides, 9% of Uber's global bookings. Those are not small numbers. The other aspect of this is that if they do comply with the order, it would hurt the economics of rideshare. They would be forced to convert, to transform into a black taxi service, so to say. What Uber and Lyft are saying is that if they were to do this, it would lead to a lot of additional costs. And the prices of rides could go up anywhere between 20% to 120%, depending on where you're based in California.
And Amazon's chief of consumer business, Jeff Wilke, is retiring. Wilke helped Amazon founder Jeff Bezos build the company into a tech giant, and he was once seen as a potential successor to Bezos. Wilke says he'll be leaving the company in the first quarter of 2021, after the holiday season. Coming up, how the pandemic is accelerating the adoption of new technologies and dividing American workers. That's after the break. For many workers in the U.S., the outlook is bleak, and it has been for a while. Wages are stagnating, manufacturing jobs are drying up, and workers don't have as much bargaining power as they used to. And lately, economists have been pointing to another factor, too. They're concerned that the adoption of new technology is leaving some workers behind, and that the pandemic is accelerating that trend. Our columnist Christopher Mims joins us to explain. Chris, thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
So this is a trend we've been hearing about for a while. Can you just remind us about some of the changes we've been seeing before the pandemic?
So this is in evidence in economic data going back decades. And at least some of the economists that I talked to said that the trends really started to pick up well before modern technology was on the scene beyond computers, because the trends begin even in the late 1980s. And so it is possible that some of the ways that technology is driving inequality really began with digitization. Because, of course, we've had, you know, centuries of an industrial revolution now. Median real wages for middle class Americans and for lower class Americans and Americans with high school education and below peaked in the late 1970s, I believe. Since then, there has been this major divergence, and the trend has been getting worse, not better. So if you look at the trend lines, there are these inflection points where it gets even worse since the last recession, especially.
And technologically speaking, what kinds of things have we been seeing?
So a lot of what economists and others, even roboticists, think that we are seeing is a trend where we are now able to use different types of automation, and some of it's not very sophisticated, to replace humans or replace a lot of the tasks that humans are doing, replacing cashiers in a grocery store with self-checkout. That doesn't require any AI. It's really just pushing the labor back onto the consumer. Some of it is more sophisticated, right? There's been just tremendous amounts of automation in manufacturing, especially in the US, Germany, to the point that you have virtually lights out factories. There's also been tons of automation in logistics. And of course, this is sort of like an irony of automation. Once you fully automate something, nobody knows about it anymore because nobody's going in there to those buildings. So one example that surprised me recently was FedEx, of course, has two divisions, FedEx Air Freight and FedEx Ground. FedEx Ground, they have over 100 so-called sortation centers, fully automated, no human beings. So that means a truck drives up, dumps its contents, and a human being doesn't see that package again until it comes out the other end sorted and then goes to the places where it's distributed onto individual FedEx delivery trucks. And that is the majority of their network, these totally fully automated places where there's no humans.
So how has the pandemic impacted this trend?
So the pandemic has impacted that trend in some potentially unique ways. So one of them is the rise of remote work. This tends to be done by knowledge workers, white collar professionals. The more you make, the more likely you are able to be a remote worker. But that means that a lot of workers are not going to the office anymore, and they are not paying for various services, you know, restaurants, lunch, whatever, that employed a lot of people in urban cores. It also could mean a significant reduction in business travel. Another trend is people leaving cities. So if enough people leave cities, it's just going to change where the mix of jobs that support those workers who've left cities are. You know, like if you no longer need services in Manhattan, but suddenly you need services in Westchester, New Jersey, you know, the workers who provide those, there's a disjunction where they have to go and move. And in the meantime, they might be unemployed. And then finally, there is this push toward automation, which goes beyond the normal equation of just increasing productivity or lowering prices. And that's because in all kinds of facilities, meatpacking plants, warehouses, factories, there is now an additional need for social distancing, which is encouraging some companies to bring in more robots to put in between the humans. It's happening at a time when there is more sophisticated automation that is commercially viable than ever. So in the old days, you know, you just had these kind of dumb and blind industrial robot arms, that sort of automation. But now, of course, we have computer vision, we've got AI. It gives a lot of this automation a degree more flexibility than it had before. So you're able to drop automation in one for one where you had humans operating before. So there are all these forces that are kind of bringing technologies that were in the future into the present and have really accelerated their adoption. And for a lot of these technologies, they're mature. The barrier was mindsets, was spending the money, was adoption, which always takes way longer, it turns out, than inventing these technologies in the first place. And so by bringing forward that adoption, we're accelerating all kinds of technological change. And in the short term and in the medium term, it could mean a lot of sort of what they call technological disemployment.
And are there specific groups that are being impacted more than others?
Yes. So one really important thing to highlight about this is that in a lot of these service sector jobs that are being just hammered by the pandemic and by this technological change, if you identify as Hispanic, your representation in these jobs is twice your representation in the U.S. population as a whole. It's like 50% higher if you identify as Black. These are jobs that are way disproportionately done by minorities, and also a lot of them done by women. So it's women of color who are already struggling with a number of pre-existing wage gaps. So for these workers to get hammered in this pandemic, you know, a lot of them are the ones who have the least wherewithal to cope with this disruption to their jobs and eventual automation of their jobs.
So what happens on the other side of recovery when we get back to work and school and whatever normal looks like after this?
So I think even after the pandemic is over, some of these trends are going to persist. And some of them, like even if we snap back, if we don't snap back all the way, it's going to be huge. So to take a very basic example, like, of course, we're going to travel again. But if the net travel of all Americans is 80% of what it was before, that's enormous. It's millions of jobs. It's billions of dollars. And some of this, because it was about changing mindsets, I think is a permanent change. So I think the best example of this is probably that we're going to have less business travel because people are going to be like, you know what? Everybody in that we did a global experiment, the 3 or 4 billion that participate in the interconnected internet economy. We all got used to Zoom meetings. We're just going to opt for that sometimes instead of hopping on a plane, because who really wants to do that? You know, also, there's going to be a significant portion of people who just are never going to want to go to the office, and plenty of employers are going to let them. So because we were all forced to do this, it may have even gone beyond just accelerating a change that was somewhere in the future. It may have caused a sort of a permanent cultural shift in terms of how much telepresence and remote work all of us are willing and able to do.
All right. Our columnist, Chris Mims, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And that was your tech news briefing. You can check out Chris's column and lots more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.